on the name of Jesus. And it is a series that I'm really excited about. And out of all the announcements you made, he did not make. We're going to end this series, and it's kind of an announcement coming up. We're setting a temporary, was it a Sunday night? The 19th? Is that a Sunday night? I think it's Sunday the 19th. We're going to practice what we preach. We're going to have a night where we come in. It's not going to be just a night of worship. It's going to be a night of praying and believing and declaring the name of Jesus. Is that it? Thank you, Chad. And we're going to, I believe, come with expectancy. Over the next few weeks, we're going to share with you the power that is in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name is more powerful than anything. We're going to just, all I'm going to do this morning is build a bridge on what we've been sharing, going into what we're doing, and then Kenny and I will be doing the next 3 to 4 weeks, depending on how long and how much we want to take with this. But I'm excited. I want to start with the testimony first. This is out of Smith Wigglesworth's, wow, that's a mouthful, book, Ever Increasing Faith. So if you've read this book, here it is. They were going to pray for a man named Lazarus. Lazarus had been a leader in the assembly, working in 10 mines, days and nights preaching until he broke down physically and collapsed. Tuberculosis set in. He lay bedfast and helpless for 6 years. God spoke to Wigglesworth. Slow down. I'm starting to say God smoke with it. Yeah, I know. There was some false teaching right there. New church. Better find a new one. Preacher just said God smokes. God spoke to Wigglesworth and told him to go to raise up Lazarus. When Smith walked into the room, Lazarus looked like a skeleton with skin stretched over. Wigglesworth endeavored to get him to release his faith, to believe God, but he was bitter. Others had prayed for him. He thought God should have healed him by now. After all, he'd given his life to him, working days and nights preaching the gospel. Undaunted, Wigglesworth said to the people who was staying with, could we get 7 people to pray with me for this man's deliverance? So 7 people plus Wigglesworth went into the room where Lazarus lay on the verge of death. The 8 believers circled the bed, holding hands, and one brother took one of Lazarus' hands. Wigglesworth took the other to include him in the circle. Then Wigglesworth said, we are not going to pray. We're just going to use the name of Jesus. They all knelt and began to whisper the one word, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The power of God fell, and then it lifted. 5 times it fell and lifted as this little group of people spoke that magnificent name. The man in the bed was unmoved. The 6th time the power of God came down on the man, and it remained. The power of God is here, Wigglesworth told him. It's yours to accept. The man's lips began to move. He made a confession. He said, I have been bitter in my heart, and I know I have grieved the Spirit of God. I am helpless. I cannot lift my hands nor even lift a spoon to my mouth. Wigglesworth said, repent, and God will hear you. He repented and cried out, oh God, let this be to your glory. And when he said that, the power of God went through him. Wigglesworth said, as we again begin to sing, Jesus, 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 the bed shook, the man shook. And I said to the people who were with me, you can all go downstairs right away. This is all God. I am not going to assist him. I sat and watched that man get up, dress himself. We sang the doxology as he walked down the steps. I said to him, now tell what has happened. It was soon noised abroad that Lazarus had been raised up, and the people came from all over the district around to see and hear his testimony. God brought salvation to many. I read that testimony about a month ago and thought, you know what? We just need to get back to the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is so powerful. And this morning, I want to start a series on the name of Jesus. We're going to talk about the authority and the power that comes with his name. And then this morning, as Tim ran back and said, you know, Carolyn's been struggling, I just begin to pray then. All I just begin to do, just right away, Jesus, Jesus, manifest your healing and your peace. If you are in a situation, we're going to start today and we're going to go for the next month, you're going to hear it over and over again. When you begin to feel tempted and temptations around you, when you begin to feel symptoms in your body, when you begin to feel anything that is contrary, peace begins to leave, you can just cry out to the name of Jesus and he'll hear you. It's his name that brings his name that brings peace and calmness. It's his name that brings healing, and that's what his name means, and we're going to get to all that here today. So let's open up our Bibles to a passage that we never turn to in this church, but Mark 11, we're going to start there. I think it's, if we don't do it once a month, you guys are knowing something's wrong with this church. Mark 11, and this is a story, and I'm going to give credit because this is, I was reading the book by Kenneth Hagin, who obviously this was the his ministry's life verse, this passage. And actually down back in our men's group, many, many times, believe it or not, this passage comes up too. And Mark Shoemaker makes this comment every single time. So I'll give credit to the two of them. But let's read this in verse 22. Well, let's not. Let's start at verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, called to remembrance, said to him, "Master, behold the fig tree that you cursed has withered away." Stop. Time out. This fig tree, they were walking to the temple, and Jesus went to get some figs from it, and it was out of season. And he just said, "Well, fine." He cursed it. He kept walking. But on the way back, Peter noticed, "Hey, wait a minute, that tree that Jesus cursed, spoke to, is withered away." So he's about to ask Jesus a question. And he said, "Master, behold the fig tree without curse is withered away." And Jesus said to him, "Have faith in God." Now, I just want to stop because this is where, as a church, we hear this all the time. Boy, one thing I love about this church, we really preach faith. We want to believe. Kenny just did a series on unbelief, how uncovering the areas in our life that are not allowing us, are hindering us from walking in faith, believing God to move mountains, which could, and all these things. We're believing and standing. And he says, get your focus off of the tree and put it on the faith. Your faith ought to be in God and not that. And then he's going to give a teaching here that is one of the most profound teachings. And that's why I think we use it so much. Verse 23. Now, if you want to read it, John 3:16, before I get in here, says, what? For God so loved the world that what? That whosoever, remember that, whosoever is for who? Whosoever, right? So whosoever is not talking about just believers. And this is where I want to talk this morning about getting our attention on Jesus. We're going to get to this is what we're going to do. Verse 23. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, shall believe those things which say shall come to pass, shall have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever so things you pray, that when you receive them, you shall have them. And you have stand praying, forgive you ought one against one another, and the Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. He gave a biblical precedent here that forgiveness is your key and your access to receiving from the Lord. If we're walking around with bitterness, anger, resentment, we will be very, very hard-pressed to receive from the Lord. Because our ought with one another is stopping us. But the other thing is the principle here, he says, is whosoever shall speak to the mountain. The other thing I'll give you is another verse I use a lot. Genesis 8:22 says this, seed time and harvest, summer, winter, reaping, sowing and reaping shall not cease. A principle that I speak about often, I've been preaching about often, these are things in the word that never will fail or cease. If you also look at Mark 4, the parable of the sower, these are principles that Jesus taught that apply to every part of our life. And the reason why I'm giving you this overview is because I'm about to share and to take it one step further today. We can teach you all about faith. We can teach you how to speak to mountains. We can teach you about this principle right here, never ceasing. Well, brother, I don't know if I really agree with seed time and harvest. I don't care. The Bible says it. I'm not really caring. I really don't. Is that this will never cease. The principle never fails. You reap what you sow, Galatians 6:9. So don't be deceived. Do not mock God. A man will reap what he sows. And so that principle is a lifelong principle. There's a bunch of faith principles that we teach this church, and it's common. We continue to preach. But what Jesus says here is have faith in God. So this morning, I want to transition and take all the teachings we've done on faith and believing and standing on the word and standing on God and do this. I want to switch it to this. Our faith needs to have a focus, which is Jesus. Jesus is the author, according to Hebrews 12, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who gave us. If you would, just turn with me to Romans 12, verse 3. And I'm going to cut into this. He's talking to believers. I know that. But I want to build a foundation here this morning for you. Then I'm going to jump on this one. But we can't do verse 3 without 1 and 2, right? Isn't that tough? We can't. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer yourselves as living sacrifices. Present your bodies to God, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what the will of God is, good, acceptable, and perfect. For I say to you, that through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every single person in this room has been given a measure of faith. And I believe and I hope and I pray that we continue to teach how do you exercise or how do you grow your faith? By use. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. So how does faith increase? The word and use. You want faith to increase in your life? Use it and use the word. And that's the way it grows inside of you like seed. And it's going to accomplish what it has meant to be. So every one of us has been given a measure of faith. What are we doing with it? We're responsible for that. Are we standing in faith rather than standing in fear? Are we living in faith or rather living in unbelief, as Kenny the last 3-4 weeks has shared with us? What are we doing with the faith that God's given you, every one of you? It didn't say, I gave Adam great faith and I gave Chuck a little less. No. We've been given each. You're not Chuck either. Wow, the Chuck's back there. Or Charles by that. Okay, it doesn't matter. So poor Charles is getting picked out today. Why'd you sit right here? Dad says it's terrible for me. Thanks. He didn't say that. He said each one of us is given a measure of faith. What are we going to do with it? How are we going to grow the kingdom with it? How are we going to live our lives with it? And I believe this morning we want to transition is the focus of our faith needs to be Jesus. It needs to be he's the author, he started it, and he's the finisher of it. But we have to learn to walk in it every step of the way. So let's jump into this. This is starting the name of Jesus. And we're going to start with Genesis 22, verse 16. Because I've learned a lot in my men's group. I have a very good teacher that if you're going to start a Bible study, you must always start in Genesis. Right, Mark? Always in Genesis. We need to start in Genesis. All right. So Genesis 22, 16, as you read this, it says this. And I say, by myself I have sworn that the Lord... For because thou hast done this thing, thou hast withheld thy son, thine only son. Let me keep reading on my scripture. That in the blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens and the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, rose up, and went to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. The next verse is... Actually, Kenny used last week, Hebrews 6:13. I was going to say the same thing, but this time it's going to clarify it a little bit better for us. Hebrews 6:13 says this, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself. So the very first principle we're going to lay this morning is this. There is nothing greater than Jesus and his name because his reputation's on the line. He can't swear by nothing greater than his name because it represents his character. He's not a liar. It's who he is. I have pages, and I mean pages, of the names of Jesus. 200 here, and I got another couple, 50, 60, another sheet. The name of Jesus represents his character. He is the great I am. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is all these names. He calls himself the Holy One, the Judge, the King of Kings, the Light of the World, the Prince of Peace. This is who he is. He cannot be the Prince of Peace if he can't give you peace. He can't be the healer if he can't heal you. So he is swearing by his own character, his own nature. And so when you call out on the name of Jehovah Jireh, he is a provider, therefore he will provide. And we can depend on that because it's his name, it's his word. And when he says it, he can't swear at anything greater. So the very foundation of getting the principle of the name of Jesus is the name of Jesus, and using the name of our God is more powerful because it represents his character, and his character is unblemished. It's perfect by nature. He's never failed. And so we begin to cry out and depend on the name of Jesus for deliverance, for healing, for whatever you need. We are depending. He is swearing by his own character because his name is that powerful. So number one, that is the power in the name of Jesus, his character. The next one, this is exciting. Isaiah 45, verse 23. Actually, I'm just going to read it like this. I have sworn by myself. So we already read that, right? Just a minute ago. Now we're going to add something to it. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear or confess. Let's turn to Philippians 2. We're going to do a lot of Bibles this morning, if you don't mind. Well, that's kind of what our church hopefully is preaching from, just to give you an idea. We're going to get to second opinions, but we didn't get there this week. Or the book of Kenny. The book of what last week, what'd you call it? I don't know, something else. He used a term last week too. But we got to start. We just really want to, oh my goodness. I want to read the whole chapter is what I want to read. Don't you hate this when I have like one verse highlighted and I have like all these verses. So it's giving us the example that we must be like Jesus. We must think like him. We must strive. And verse 5, let's start there. I meant my mind stop. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, giving us the example, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant and was made in likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death and even death on a cross. This is powerful, and I'm not even going to preach it because it just, Jesus emptied himself of his rights, his privileges of being God, so he could be like us and we could learn to live like him. That's just so powerful. He gave his deity rights aside, his privileges aside, so he could be a man. He did it through obedience all the way to death on a cross. Verse 9, wherefore, because of his obedience and because of his humility and because of all the things, because, wherefore, God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. Come on. That's the authority in the scope of the name of Jesus. He's given such authority and power that doesn't matter what realm you're in or what realm you're not in, the name of Jesus has supreme authority over all of it. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. One of the reasons that got me so excited 25 years ago when I started listening to Kenneth Copeland is he ended every single broadcast, and I don't know if I haven't watched him in a while lately, but I'm sure he still does it. I'm sure he does. He ends every broadcast, Jesus is Lord. That's the greatest declaration you can make. Jesus is Lord. He is supreme in authority, in control of whatever I yield. Remember the thing that we talked about a couple weeks ago? That whatever I yield to him, he becomes Lord over. But you know what happens? When we start pulling away and we don't confess and we are not standing, we take things over ourselves and we become lords over ourselves and we wonder why we're failing. Yield the control. Yield the authority over to Jesus and let him manifest his power and goodness and blessing. Isn't that good news? This is the scope of the name of Jesus. Because I don't know if you heard it the first time, I'm going to just read this again. Wherefore God exalted, highly exalted, Jesus, and he gave him a name which is above every name. Is cancer a name? Not as high as the name of Jesus. Is any sickness and disease a name? It has a name. Not as great and more powerful as the name of Jesus. Hate is a name of an attribute, but not as more powerful as the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Wherefore, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Should. In heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, everyone is under that authority of the name of Jesus. Doesn't matter where you go, you can use the name because it has ultimate supreme authority in it. This is the power of the name of Jesus. And then let's just jump, because we want to be good Bible stewards, let's jump to Romans chapter 14. Let's see if we can't find a third reference to this very same thing. Romans 14. I was sharing with my father this week on the phone. We were having a little chat. And he's talking. I was just sharing with him a little bit what I'm going to be sharing. You know, and I like to, once about a runner, I go, if I, when I go back to Hilton Head Island, he's planning on heading up there to do some teaching here in the next couple months. I am told them, I'm just going to preach out of Romans 14 and 15 because the church needs to hear how we can walk together in unity and stop judging one another and stop picking at one another and stop letting our personal differences divide us. And he was going on now that, and he started preaching to me. I'm like, hey, Dad, it's my turn. Hello. I was calling you to let you know what I was doing. Now you're preaching your sermon again. But no, just kidding. He did. But we have a great time. Once you get in the Word, it's fun. But if you realize that we preached this text before, that this is a stumbling block to your brothers and sisters, and we must not be that person. If they have a different conviction about something in you, then don't judge them, pray for them, or just judge your own self. Because you're the one going to have to be accountable to God for you, not them. But then it goes on to say, and I just want to, once again, I just hate quoting, but we're going to. Verse 10. I know, I feel like I'm cutting right in the middle of it. Here's the plot of the story. But why do you judge your brother? Why does you set naught against your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account to himself before God. It doesn't matter the way you view others, and no matter this principle that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, is throughout all of Scripture. We must learn that every one of us are going to come before him and we will bow. We will bow. Everybody will bow to the King of all kings. Why not bow now? Why not yield now? Why not let the name of Jesus determine every decision you make, every decision you make to buy, every decision you make to look at, what you look at, what you listen to, what you're a part of? Why not let this be, when you're in the middle of making a bad decision, I just challenge you. Just do this. Jesus. And all of a sudden you get a little uncomfortable, maybe you ought to just rethink your decision. Because it's the name of Jesus that you become and put as Lord of every decision you make. If you're about to buy something, Jesus. Come on, get that peace of Jesus. I know it sounds great. He is the Lord. And you yield to that every day. We're going to get to some of the preaching. This is where we're going to have, sir, if you would now. The main text of the morning I'm finally getting to is Acts chapter 4. So this is where we're not going to end here because that would be a while. But Acts 4, we're going to start at verse 1 and we're going to read this chapter. And I hope and pray, just as a minute ago when I was reading the scripture, I hope it comes alive to you because we're focusing on the name of Jesus. His character he swears by when his name is mentioned. His name is a name above every name, everything and everyone. His name, his supreme authority. And now we're going to find out what happens when we start using his name. Verse 1 of chapter 4. And as they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus. What name was that? Was Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them. Put them in hold, and the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. It's a pretty good revival service. That was just the men, by the way, not including the children and the women. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, as many as were kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, ready for this? By what power or by what name have you done this? Come on, this is what we ought to be marked by. By what power, no. What name have you done this by? This is the ministry of the kingdom of God. By what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Uh-oh, he's dangerous. You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day to be examined of the good deed done by the... Remember this. This is a man full of the Holy Ghost. Everything he's saying is going to come across. And if I can try to read it with the power and with the passion that Peter did that day, remember, he's speaking to some pretty high people. And he's about to lay the axe down in a really awesome way. And you can't do that unless if you're operating by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Verse 10. Be it known unto you all that all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. You killed, God raised. Pretty calming way to it. Very, very, we're going to go in the side door here. He went right at him. You killed him, God raised him. Even by him does this man stand him before the whole. This is the stone which was set not as the builders and became the head cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. One name, the name of Jesus. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, the man. And beholding the man was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Signs, wonders, miracles, following those that believe, preaching the word with boldness. But when they had commanded them to go outside the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. CNN headlines right here, folks. But that it spread no further among the people, until CNN says it, right? Then it's going everywhere. That they speak henceforth to no man in this name. They couldn't even say it, right? To that name. Because they knew the power of the name of Jesus. Okay. And they came to them, verse 18, and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. We don't care what you do, but do not teach in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, the world has silenced this long enough. I believe this is true. And that's why I feel like this series is going to be so powerful. We've got to begin to be the proclaimers of the name of Jesus again. It was by the name. You can preach all you want, just don't use that name. And don't hear that all around the world today. Ephesians chapter 1, preaching another gospel than the message of grace. Receiving grace by faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:6. This is the gospel of Jesus. Let me keep going. So you think, let's just compromise. Verse 18, let's see what verse 19 says. But Peter, you know it ain't going to go well now. And John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, more unto God judge you. For we cannot but speak for the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might be punished, because the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was about 40 years old, and on whom this miracle of healing was shown. So a miracle takes place. Peter and John get in trouble, and all they do is they confess the name of Jesus over and over and over again. Let me just, if we got in trouble today for preaching the gospel, would we get in trouble for using the name of Jesus? Would we be in trouble? Would we have enough evidence to convict us, to sentence us against that? Are we using other ways, these gimmicks? I don't mind different ways to present the gospel. But, buddy, I'm telling you right now, years ago, there was a ministry, big, large megachurch ministry, said that we do not want to preach a bloody gospel. Well, you can't have the gospel without the blood of Jesus. So you just took out one of the main aspects of our redemption through the blood. Well, then now we're having a lot. We really just don't want to preach about repentance. Well, that's kind of hard because you can't get saved without it. We're trying to find a way around the gospel of change. That we must be changed. God's not changing. He did it for us. And the only way you can do it is by bowing your knee. And Romans 10 comes alive. Believe in your heart. Confess to your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's it. Jesus is Lord. It's through his name that we're saved by his grace through faith. It's amazing. So then what happens? I'm going to end with this. I really am going to end with this last part. I promise. So let me build you here because I'm just building all this today. It's just foundation for where we're going to go. So I told them earlier, I was so excited. I didn't know where I wanted to stop today, but I think I found a good spot. I think. So we are preaching a series that our faith has a focus, and it's going to be the name of Jesus. He's the author of your faith. He's the finisher. He's the clear, but you still have to walk in faith with the name of Jesus. So he swears Jesus' name is so powerful that his nature and his character depends on it. His name is the name that's above every other name. Everything on heaven and earth or under the earth has to bow before the name of Jesus. So when you're praying for people, remember there's nothing more powerful than the name of Jesus. His authority rests in the name of Jesus to even rile up the sinners around. But then I want to just close with this morning. The release of authority also comes with a great commission. So let's go to Matthew 28. Because ultimately this is what the church ought to be mobilized to do, if you would agree. Matthew 28 is the great commission. And if you would, before we start reading that, I want you to flip over about 20 pages or so to Mark 16. We're going to read both accounts because both of them complete one another very well. Matthew 28, verse 16, the 11 disciples went away to Galilee in a mountain where Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now go, therefore, and make disciples, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Mark 16. Verse 14. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11. He sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief. I like that. And their hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen after he had risen. And he's going to give the same commission, but this time it's going to be worded just a little bit different. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. You ready for this? In my name they will cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. All that has been done in the name of Jesus. In my name, we just break it down now. In my name, they cast out devils and speak with new tongues. In my name, they shall take up serpents. In my name, they shall drink deadly things, and it shall not injure them. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. All done in the name of Jesus. I believe right now that we have a revelation in front of us for the next couple weeks. We're going to talk about the power and the authority and the character of God. His name is so powerful. And there's so many scriptures when you start adding them up, we're going to get to. I mean, what's very difficult is not using all the scriptures. You'll find out there are hundreds of references referring to the name of Jesus. So this morning, I want to challenge you as you go over these next 3 and 4 weeks, that we get a perspective, a mindset changed on what we can do. And you feel trials come your way. Remember, there's a name that's above every name. When sickness starts to creep its head in your home, in your family, in your life, you can just cry out the name of Jesus. And that story that I read to start with by Smith Wigglesworth, the reason that one hit me so much is because ever since I read that, I'll be driving down the road, I'm like, man, I just start getting a little just frustrated about something, and I have done this. I just say the name of Jesus, and I'm telling you, folks, the calm comes immediately because I have faith in that name. So we can't undo. That's why I wanted to share this morning. We can't undo the faith that we have to walk in, but our faith is in Jesus and that name which is above every name. The name which made the Pharisees and the Sadducees begin to freak out, because then Peter and John began to preach the name of Jesus with more power and more boldness. And that is what I want to see out of this church. We exercise authority and power and boldness out in those streets by using the name which is above every name. When you walk up to somebody in a Walmart, believe it or not, how many times you want to pray the happy prayer? I just pray the Lord bless you and you have a really good day and that you be healed. How about this one? I just pray right now in the name of Jesus. Boom. You see the shift. I want to start praying with a name that's the name above every name. Now again, you don't have to, this is not a pattern you got to live by. I'm saying this. Some of you don't realize the power that you're omitting just by not relying on the name which is above every name. It's Jesus. Amen. Let's close and let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you this morning that we have a name that demons fear. We have a name that opens prison's doors and sets captives free. We have a name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ, is Lord. So when we think of all the people who disagree, the atheism and all the stuff that's around the world that hate our God, we know that every knee will eventually bow and see that there was one king, and his name is Jesus. I pray this morning that a revelation would come upon every single heart and every mind, that no matter whether it's sickness, fear, worry, anxiety, that when we begin to declare the name of Jesus, atmosphere changes, things change. When Paul and Silas were in that prison cell, and they began to worship, singing out the name of Jesus, an earthquake took place, and the prison bars released, and they were free. We have so much in your name, and I pray a revelation would begin to this very day, and we will see and activate this every day of our lives, that in the name of Jesus, we have peace, provision, and freedom. Thank you that we are saved through the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. And by no other name can man be saved but through Jesus. So we thank you that you, through these next few weeks, will unveil your character, your nature, and how your nature and your character changes our identity as sons and daughters of Jesus. Co-heirs with Jesus, that we are sons and daughters of the King, and we ought to operate differently because of that. So we speak a blessing that in the name of Jesus, your people are blessed as they leave today. In Jesus' name, amen.